When the Magi come and visit Jesus, he probably is 1 to 2 years old. There's a part of the birth story that happens after his birth, but before the Magi, that we often miss, and the children can head to their Sunday school classes. And I'd like us to hear this story that we often forget. It comes 8 days after Jesus' birth. It's the story of his presentation, his circumcision in the temple. And you'll find it in Luke's gospel in chapter 2, verse 21 through 35. And the words will be on the screen. Luke records this portion of the story. He says, "On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and offer a sacrifice in keeping with what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves and 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was a righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praising God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and will be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.'" Amen. We don't typically spend much time on this account, and when we don't, we miss a key element of God's story, a part of God's story in the sending of Jesus that gets woven in from the very first making of the fabric. I want to put Simeon's words back on the screen. "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Notice the highlighted text. Notice the underlined words in the highlighted text. God in Jesus is broadcasting his salvation to all people, not only Jews, but Gentiles as well. I mean, it's hard for us to understand what those words would have sounded like for people who were Jewish back then. There was often a loathing between Jews and Gentiles. And this man, standing in the temple courts, God's house, is prompted by God the Holy Spirit to announce that Jesus was going to be a salvation for all people, a revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for the people of Israel. Simeon makes plain at the beginning of Jesus' life and ministry what Jesus himself brings out as the story unfolds. If you had your Bible here, I'd have you flip to the very last chapter of Luke's Gospel. And in the last chapter of Luke's Gospel, in almost the last verses, we find this account. Jesus is about to leave the people at this point after his death, after his resurrection. He calls his disciples to himself one last time, and then it says, Luke 24, then he, Jesus, opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And many of us realize that Luke actually wrote two books. He wrote the first book, the Gospel of Luke, and then he wrote his sequel, the Book of Acts, we call it. And he opens the Book of Acts with words that are probably familiar to many of us in the church. Jesus, again, is the spokesperson, and he says to his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And what's that power for? You will receive power so that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. From the very beginning, the manger is not only married to the cross, as we explored last week, the manger is married to the mission of God to take the salvation of God to the whole world. It was actually part of the Jews' commission, if you go back to Abraham's day, but they didn't carry that through. And so God is emphasizing that Jesus came not just for Jews, not just for people in Jerusalem, but for the whole world. And now let's turn back for a moment and let me read the story, the full story that our children reenacted a few moments ago. This is Matthew's gospel. And Matthew tells us these words. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Now when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly, and he found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Kind of wink, wink. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Now just think about that for a moment. Not only did they see a star appear in the heavens and understand that God was doing something incredible in the world and that God was sending a Savior to the world, then somehow they follow this star across, you know, a pretty significant part of the continent to get there. And then this star somehow leads them actually to the location. I mean, my GPS doesn't always get me to the right location. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Matthew's gospel has been called by many the most Jewish of Gospels. It contains the most Old Testament passages. It's a Jew writing to other Jews of how God is fulfilling His purpose through Jesus. And yet, in this most Jewish of Gospels, it is Matthew who tells us the story of these kind of strange characters from the East. Matthew doesn't have any angels announcing Jesus' birth. He doesn't have the shepherds come and visit. The only people Matthew records that comes to Jesus in those early years are these strange guys called the Magi. And they come to the baby Jesus from the East, from people who are not Jewish by nature, from Gentiles. And they come for one express purpose. To worship the one who is Savior of the world. There's no exchange of words in the story. All they do is they come. When they find the child, they bow before him. They present him offerings from their heart, and they go back home to tell their world what they have seen. The Magi, if we were looking at the gospel through literary eyes, are a wonderful moment of foreshadowing. Jesus is not simply Savior for the Jewish family. Jesus is Savior for everyone in the world. And in Matthew's gospel, he makes what he foreshadowed in the Magi completely obvious as he brings his gospel to a close with these familiar words. Again, after the resurrection, Jesus gathers his disciples. And it says, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Just as the cross and the manger are linked in the gospel story, so the cross and the mission of God to take the name of Jesus to the ends of the earth are linked in the birth of Jesus. And if we think about that word mission, we could define it, if we look through the texts we've read today, as making disciples of all nations. Of going to the ends of the earth with the name of Jesus. Of announcing God's salvation to all people. And friends, that is not an option for the church. Fulfilling the mission of Jesus Christ is not one good thing among many we can do in the church. It is the very calling God has given to the church. Those who have been at PCOG for a while remember a year ago when we turned the trumpets around. These trumpets that have been hanging for a year and probably are becoming somewhat invisible. A decoration that hangs all the time becomes moderately invisible. And so I call attention to the trumpet. And you might recall, if you've been here, they used to face in. And we intentionally turned them around as a constant reminder in this place that the gift and the message of Jesus that we hold dear, that we gather in this space to glorify and to worship God, that message is not meant just for us to hold on to, but it's meant for us to declare to the whole world. Telling as many people and as many people groups or groups of people around the world, the message of Jesus is the calling of the church and the calling of each person in the church. So as Christmas celebration comes to a close this year, as we think about, at least for the last time, the little baby in a manger, as we take down our trees, and maybe you've done that already in your homes, or maybe you'll do it soon, as you take down your trees and your decorations, announcing this incredible season, but saying, oh, the Christmas season now is over. Remember the message of the Christmas season. That little baby was Savior of the world. And that He asks you and me to be the ones who tell people that fact. And that may be people next door, people in our office parks. It may be a calling to go to people around the world that you do not know, or to simply support people who have heard the call of God to go. And that's not something we can do. It's something we are called to do by God from the very beginning of the story until the end. The Scripture says there is one name under heaven by which we may be saved. And that's the name of Jesus. And I remind us who are seated here, who may hear this over the internet, that the first step in all of our journey is to come and believe in Jesus. And I hope and I pray each of you do believe in Jesus. And if you're not sure, if you haven't kind of mentally said, I believe in Jesus, then I want to give space right now for you to do that. And I want to make the offer that you can talk to me, talk to the elders or deacons who are standing there, talk to most people in this church. We'd love to tell you about the way the faith in Jesus has changed our lives. That's the first step. And the world is incredible when Jesus is in your life. I will tell you that. But Jesus will ask you to take other steps of sharing what you discovered, what you found, what God did in your life with people near and people far. That's why we're here. Let's pray. Lord, I'd like to give a little space right now for us to think about our connection and relationship with you. And I invite each of us to consider if we've made that confession that, yes, I believe in you, Jesus, in our life. If you have made that confession, then thank God for the riches of His grace and begin to ask God what He would have you do to see that His name goes to the end of the earth. And if you haven't had an opportunity to make that faith statement of, yes, I believe in you, Jesus, then I offer you this space. And I invite you to say simply that to Jesus. Lord Jesus, today I say yes to you. I choose to believe in you, that you are God, Savior, and my Savior. I pray that you would forgive me for things I have done that are not right, and that you would give me strength to live for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. If you've made that kind of a prayer or statement for the first time later, as communion is going on, we'll have prayer teams and they would love to talk with you more and pray with you about any decision. If you're sensing a pull by God in any way or have any kind of prayer needs, the prayer teams will be available to pray with you. At this point, I'd like to pray for our world and for the gospel to go around this world. And if you could go to the last slide, thanks. You may want to observe that graphic. Let's pray. God, it's clear from that graphic that there is still much work to be done. There are many people who still haven't heard the name of Jesus or are living in a way and following other faiths. We pray for them, Lord, and we pray that you would call us and call people from your church around the world, giving them hearts of compassion for those who do not yet believe in you. Lord, we pray that in every group of people, you would plant a light of your faith through brothers and sisters who believe in you, and that through them, the light of Jesus would spread. We pray for missionaries that our own church supports, whether they minister in Bridgeport or Norwalk, or whether they minister in Nigeria or Haiti. We ask you, Lord, to give them strength to tell the name and story of Jesus through deeds of compassion and words of proclamation. And Lord, I pray that you will make us restless and make your church restless until we accomplish the task of taking your name to the ends of the earth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.